Yes, grab a cup, grab a seat, and welcome on in to Coffee and Cornbread. Before we get started, your Monday doesn't have to be spectacular. It doesn't. Don't worry about it. You don't. It just needs a move, just one move, a little closer to where you want to be. One workout, one phone call, one email, one task crossed off your list. Small wins become big weeks pretty quickly. And that's where I want you to start today. As soon as you end this podcast, before you move on to the Barnes 24/7 stream, whatever the case may be, get that small task done. Eat the frog. Do what you need to do. Get your first one today. Let's have a week. All right, let's catch you up on everything you missed around the barn over the weekend. Alex Golish turned South Florida around before leaving for Auburn, but apparently not everyone in Tampa is ready to give him credit for it. Actually, it's the complete opposite. They apparently hate him now. But on the last Top Button podcast, Charlie 5 called out USF fans who are somehow claiming Golish actually underachieved during his three seasons with the Bulls.
The disdain for Alex Golish is wild to me. And I thought they would get over it. Like, okay, the initial hurt. I was trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. The initial hurt of him leaving, you know, I get it. But it's continuing. And this was a tweet from a USF fan page. Come to USF. Actually, I don't even know if that's a fan page. That could be a recruiting page. I haven't done a ton of research, but it was a retweet of the clip from the SEC Network that says, I don't set goals, I set standards. And it was, you know, the big quote. Honestly, it could have been the biggest quote of media days from Alex Golish. And then they quote it and respond, underachieving is the standard. Underachieving. So you would have to take the logical step that this particular account or this particular group of fans believes that Alex Golish underachieved at USF. Underachieved at taking a team that won four games in 3 years to a bowl game in your very, very first year. Underachieving to take a team that won four games in 3 years to two bowl games in a row, and the second year his quarterback was injured, having to go with a backup. And then taking a team that won four games in 3 years to nine wins in year three before he left. What is underachieving? Like, what did they expect? If you underachieve, that means you have a vision of where South Florida should be, and this guy didn't get there. I mean, the nine wins, you can only find two seasons ever where they won more than nine games.
I think it's pretty bizarre, actually. You can understand why South Florida fans weren't happy to lose Alex Golish, and maybe you can act some kind of way there, because he rebuilt the program. He started winning football games, and then he left for an SEC opportunity at Auburn. And I think that's an important thing to say, SEC opportunity, because let's keep it real. He almost went to Arkansas as well. So he was going, he was leaving for the SEC regardless. Thankfully he lands in Auburn, but calling what he accomplished an underachievement is completely different. It's a completely different conversation and the wrong one to have. Golish inherited a program that had won one conference game in 3 years. Three seasons later, South Florida had won nine games, and Golish was one of the hottest coaching names in the country, the reason multiple SEC schools wanted him. That's ultimately why Auburn wanted him in the first place. Now Golish gets an opportunity to prove he can build something similar on a much bigger stage. Yes, USF fans, a much bigger stage. Do they have a legitimate reason to be upset with Alex Golish? Maybe. Or is it just sour grapes because they lost arguably one of their best head coaches in program history to Auburn? You tell me. Well, how quickly does Auburn need to start winning under Alex Golish? That's the next question we ask, because with Florida and Tennessee coming up before a trip to Athens, the first half of the schedule could tell us a lot. And on this week's Village Vice Live Dive, Brad and Zach discuss the difference between Auburn starting 4-2 and 3-3, and why that one game could completely change how we view year one.
Do you think we can go undefeated going into Georgia? Yes.
Yeah, can we? Absolutely.
I'm not predicting that to happen right now. I don't think so, but I do think we absolutely can.
Are we in a spot that 3-3 after Georgia is?
That'd be pretty tough to overcome.
Well, that's kind of what I was wanting to ask. Is that, are we okay if we're 3-3 after Georgia? Yeah, are we taking on a little water in terms of this season? What kind of second half?
3-3 after Georgia means you beat Baylor, Southern Miss, and Vandy, I guess, and then you lose to Florida, Tennessee, and Georgia.
Yeah. Any comment?
I think that'd be pretty bad. Or you'd be pretty brutal.
Or you beat Florida and lose to Vanderbilt. Like, you're going to lose one. You lose one of those two. Or you lose to Baylor and you win one of those other ones.
Yeah, I think that'd be brutal. But can Auburn be undefeated going into Georgia? Yes. I think we have one loss going into Georgia. That's my pick right now.
Going into Georgia. So 4-1 going into Georgia.
Yeah.
If you lose that game, you're 4-2 coming out of Georgia. That's okay. 3-3, terrible. 4-2, fine. Is that where the line is right there? Game difference?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Optimism is high. I blame the barn. You should. It's our fault. Virginia double dribbled. VDD.
Which is true. They did double dribble.
Absolutely double dribbled. Yes. Yes.
I think that's what makes Auburn's first six games so interesting. I mean, nobody's saying the Tigers have to walk into Athens undefeated, although it's possible, but there's pretty significant difference between reaching a 4-1 point out of the Georgia game, 4-2 point after the Georgia game, I guess you could say, or 3-3. Because at some point, Auburn has to start winning one of these toss-up games. When you talk about Tennessee, you talk about Florida, and who knows? Eventually, you got to win that game against Georgia. Do I think that happens this year? I've been pretty transparent on my thought process, and really, that is the only game on the schedule that I'm a little nervous about, that I just can't give that nice green check mark to. Still sitting in the red X's in my category. But I feel confident about Tennessee, although I felt a lot higher about Tennessee now after media days, and I feel very, 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 very confident about going into that game against Florida. So where do you draw the line? Is Auburn, if they're 4-2 after Georgia, are you satisfied with that start? And what happens if they're sitting at 3-3? Do you think that's a very bad sign? Well, Auburn entered SEC media days with plenty of hype. There's no doubt about that. Inside its own fan base, us at the Barn have not done anything otherwise to make that actually true. We definitely have brought the hype. We've brought the bug. But the bigger question was whether the national media was starting to buy in. On this week's Barn Social Hour, Hunter and Graham discuss why the reaction to Alex Golish and Byron Brown suggests that might already be happening.
This week was SEC Media Days, and this was really the first time the national media has gotten a chance to kind of get to know Coach Golish, Byron Brown. They know McPherson because he's been at Auburn, you know, Champ Anthony. But this was mainly just to, you know, see, you know, what Byron Brown and Coach Golish and what the hype is all about. And after they were there and did what they did, and everyone seemed to have positive, reviews about McPherson and Champ Anthony and Byron Brown and Golish, that the media is buying in. So I kind of throw it to you, like, what are your thoughts on, you know, them? And we can talk about one specific one that I kind of touched on yesterday that I kind of want to dive deeper into. Mm-hmm. But like, kind of, what are your thoughts on that?
Kind of caught off guard a little bit by it. And it's something that we haven't really seen in the last couple years, you know, I really think the Gus Malzahn days, the 20 after 2013, Auburn's name was up there, and then we kind of died off there right after 2013, mm-hmm. and then came back a little bit in 2017. So there was some buzz around the national media there, just because of, you know, like getting Jared Stidham and stuff like that. But yeah, ever since, you know, we got rid of Malzahn, it's kind of been, you know, downhill. It didn't really improve with Brian Harsin. And I think that's just because it was such a random hire. Like, he wasn't really an up-and-coming coach, it felt like. kind of like Golish is, you know. He kind of was just like a what is this hire? And I think what we found out, you know, since then, part of that reason is because I don't think he was our number one pick. I think Lane Kiffin was.
Yeah, I can see either way. And honestly, I think that's what makes the reaction coming out of Tampa so interesting. Because on one hand, Auburn's picked 12th in the SEC media polls. On the other hand, you're starting to hear national voices openly discuss the possibility of 8 or 9 wins and Auburn knocking off teams like Florida, Tennessee, even Ole Miss. Yeah, that's right, Ole Miss. So to me, that's interesting. None of those are predictions mattered once the season starts. Of course, we know that. But I've also heard multiple media members saying that they believe Auburn could be the dark horse of this conference. Now, Alex Golish and Byron Brown have to turn that optimism into wins. Let's find out, right? Do you think that the national media is starting to buy into Auburn? We'll see. In the next couple weeks in fall camp, we'll really start to understand the entire narrative behind the Auburn Tigers for sure. Maybe they'll actually give quotes with full context. Maybe we'll get that far in a couple weeks. Well, Alex Golish still hasn't coached his first game at Auburn, and everything he's done since arriving has given Tiger fans reasons to believe. On last night's Barncast Live, the crew explained why Golish's authenticity and his willingness to fully embrace being the face of Auburn football continues to stand out. Oh, and we might have talked about feet just a little too much.
You're talking about the media machine and pumping up John Summerall. I'll tell you what, I've seen some Bama folks be like, Golish may be the guy. Like, Golish may be maybe tough. Auburn will screw it up somehow, but Golish may be legit, is what I've seen.
Well, again, all you have to go on at this point, and we haven't seen a game yet, and that's all we've been screaming from the mountaintops. Like, all the people are, well, I'm going to wait until he's coached again. I get it. That's fine. Like, that's – we all are. But all we can see – like, all we can go on right now is what we have seen.
Yes.
And he appears to be authentic. He really pushes be who you say you are. And everywhere he's been, he has been who he said he is. So why would we think reasonably that would stop now? Again, just trying to be reasonable, trying to take the emotion out of it. Why reasonably would we think that stops now? He's had the best offenses in college football the last 5 years. Why would that stop now?
It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. I think I like the fact so much that there's nothing to defend.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Like, yeah, there's nothing, there's no bonehead comment. There's literally nothing that Auburn fans have to defend for anything that he said at the, I'll tell you what, he's probably done more media. He probably has done more media than Hugh Freeze did media his first year. Like, he's had more opportunities to screw up.
Yeah.
And hasn't done it.
He said yes to everything. He's been on so many podcasts and so many platforms and radio shows and TV interviews. He said yes every time. He did like 3 Tiger Talks in the spring.
Plain and simple, this is what will happen, folks. Alex Golish will be judged by what happens on Saturdays. Nobody's arguing that otherwise. As of right now, Alex Golish hasn't had the opportunity to find out what happens on Saturdays as the Auburn head coach. But until those games arrive, you can only evaluate on what he's shown you. And so far, his message has remained remarkably consistent. And I think that goes a very long way. He's been accessible. He's embraced the expectations. He set the standards. He's talked about bringing a new identity, establishing those standards, and understanding exactly what comes about being Auburn's head football coach. More importantly, Auburn fans haven't spent the offseason explaining away comments or defending unnecessary distractions. And maybe that's because the players he chose to bring to Media Days, maybe it's how he attacked Media Days, even how he attacked the spring meetings in Destin. Maybe. But he's not giving anybody bulletin board material unless I think the only craziest thing he took was saying he believes Byron Brown is already one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And that's not bulletin board material. That's just straight up facts. So Alex Golish just won me over. And yeah, is that too soon? Possibly. So I ask you, as we leave today's episode of Coffee and Cornbread, has Alex Golish already won you over, or are you waiting until you see Auburn take the field? Let us know in the comments. That'll wrap it up for today's episode. Thank you for pulling up a chair. We'll do it again tomorrow, right here on Coffee and Cornbread.